سبحان الله حمدا لله ولا إله إلا الله.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: زكاة العلم نشر.
سبحان الله حمدا لله ولا إله إلا الله.
First of all, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate and the most merciful, we are very pleased and proud to be in the service of my dear brother, Mr. Dr. Muhammad Sultan. It is appropriate to thank the audience for their participation in this session. In addition, we would like to thank all of the thinkers, dignitaries, and honorable brothers who participate in person or virtually. The title of Mr. Dr. Sultani's speech is Morality and the Meaning of Life, of the Life, a Quranic Perspective. What the professor is going to present include the following themes: the meaning of life as an existential crisis in the modern world. What do people value in life? How much of what gives people satisfaction in their lives is fundamental and shared across cultures, and how much is unique to a given society? In a very basic definition, the existential crisis of the meaning of life is where you start to question the purpose and meaning of life. Supernaturalism, God-centered views, one's existence is significant if and only if one fulfills a purpose God has assigned, or God has a plan for the universe, and that one's life is meaningful just to the degree that one helps God realize this plan. Soul-centered views, meaning in life mainly comes from having an immortal spiritual substance that is contiguous with one's body when it is alive, and that will forever outlive its death. Like God-centered theorists, many soul-centered theorists these days advance a moderate view, accepting that some meaning in life would be possible without immortality, but arguing that a much greater meaning would be possible with it. Naturalism. Naturalism is the view that a physical life is central to life's meaning, that even if there is no spiritual realm, a substantially meaningful life is possible. Subjectivists believe that there are no invariant standards of meaning because meaning is relative to the subject, i.e. it depends on individuals' proper attitudes, such as their particular desires or ends, which are not shared by everyone. Roughly, something is meaningful for a person if she strongly wants it and intends to seek it out, and she gets it. One influential subjectivist has recently maintained that the relevant mental state is caring or loving, so that life is meaningful just to the extent that one cares about or loves something. Another recent proposal is that meaningfulness crisis of an active engagement and affirmation that vivifies the person who has freely created or accepted and now promotes and nurtures the project of her highest concern. Objectivists maintain, in contrast, that there are some invariant standards for meaning because meaning is at least partly mind-independent, i.e., obtains not merely in virtue of being the object of anyone's mental states. Here, something is meaningful partially because of its intrinsic nature, in the sense of being independent of whether it is wanted or intended. Meaning is instead, to some extent, the sort of thing that merit these reactions. Morality, the good; inquiry, the true; creativity, the beautiful, are widely held instances of activities that confer meaning on life. Nihilism. According to nihilism, what would make a life meaningful, in principle, cannot obtain for any of us. Life or human existence has no real meaning or purpose because human existence occurred out of a random chance in nature. And anything that exists by chance has no intended purpose. Real answers to the meaning of life and finding happiness, this phrase said by Timothy Tang. Life has no meaning, but a humans, we try to associate a meaning or purpose so we can justify our existence. There is no point in life, and that is exactly what makes it so special. Please ask question in turn. Now we are listening to his valuable words. Dear doctor, start please.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سلام عليكم.
سلام.
Peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam and his progeny. Accept my condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Lady Fatima Zahra, salamullah alayha, and the martyrdoms in Palestine. The topic of this presentation is morality and the meaning of life, and we are trying to concentrate on a Quranic perspective on this important issue. Okay. As an introduction, I will talk about the meaning of life as an existential crisis in the modern world. And the second step is to define the Quran's contribution to making the components and meaning of life. And after that, the effect of this Quran-based meaning on life, of life on morality. So, as an introduction, I will talk about the meaning of life as an existential crisis. My brother, Dr. Qahramani, reviewed some of what I want to say, so I can quickly pass this slide. In a very basic definition, the existential crisis of the meaning of life is where you start to question the purpose and meaning of life. And questioning our life and its purpose is not always a bad thing. In fact, it can help us choose the best. What you see in this slide is the result of Pew Research on what nearly 19,000 adults across 17 advanced economies answered to what confer meaning on their lives. So the result shows that family and children is at the top of this diagram. Occupation, and career, material well-being, friends and community, physical and mental health. And then you reach to education and meaning with only 5% of effect of conferring meaning on life in advanced economies. And at the bottom of this diagram, you see spirituality, faith, and religion with only 2% of effect. Due to the little effect of religion in making meaning for modern life, many do not find meaning in their lives. This slide is showing the result of another research, which is done in Canada, and the result shows that just 6 in 10 people in Canada have a strong sense of meaning and purpose. So it shows that we are facing actually a real crisis in the world. It's while finding meaning in life could improve even your health. This is another research done by Harvard Health Medical School and published in the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry. So the result also shows that who believed they had meaning in their life had better physical and mental health scores and higher cognitive function compared with those who did not. Although we are facing this great crisis in the world, what you find on internet to make your life meaningful is something like this. Do something for others, do what you love to do, find your passion and pursue it, get out of your comfort zone, and other things that you see Googling on internet. Referring to the realm of philosophy, it is just an just to go to the actual topic of this session. In philosophy, at least there are 3 major groups of views: supernaturalism, naturalism, and nihilism. In supernaturalism, there is a supernatural being who confers meaning on life. In naturalism, there is no supernatural being and just this world, and living in this world with all its materialistic aspect is what is to confer meaning on life. And nihilism is obvious because it says that there is no meaning in life and life has no meaning, but as humans we try to associate a meaning or purpose so we can justify our existence. In current researches on meaning in modern psychology, we are in a sense of post-postmodern understanding of meaning, because it is said that we are no longer seeing distinct, discrete theories of meaning. Instead, we are comfortable mixing and mashing and merging ideas from different theories. So it is famous in modern psychology to say we are not sure exactly where meaning comes from, it is if it is inherent or if it is real at all. What we do know is that humans flourish when they have it and suffer when they do not have. So in modern psychology, they don't try to actually find a strong base for making meaning and conferring meaning on life, but they try to actually gather all ideas and help people to have a meaningful life. This is a famous article written by Martello and Steger in 2016, which says that meaning in life involves 3 main components. So the first one is significance. You feel significant when you can contribute or make a difference. Purpose, having a direction in life or core goals, makes you experience purpose. And the last one is coherence. Coherence describes the connection between the past, present, and future. More in depth, coherence means our own understanding and construction of the world, creating a lifeline and reflecting on events that have influenced your life is an empowering exercise for experiencing coherence. My main presentation here is on the basis of on this article, so I will try to actually explain the Quranic view on these three elements and their influence on a moral life. The Quran's contribution to making the components of meaning in life. When you refer to the Holy Quran, you see that having purpose in life and having meaning in life is very important. So the Holy Quran states, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما خلقنا السماء والأرض وما بينهما باطلا. So the life is not in vain. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. The life is not in play. So there are many verses in the Holy Quran talking about these three components. For example, God has created us with both of his hands. So this expression is not used for other creatures, and it is exclusively used for the creation of human beings. And this shows the importance of human being in the view of God. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَغْوِيمٍ. So human beings is of the best stature, and because of that, God calls himself the best of creators, أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. The other factors of the importance of the human being in the viewpoint of Quran, of the Quran, is that human being is made of the spirit of God, من روحه. It has fitrat Allah, or the nature of Allah is inside human being. لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. Children of Adam is dignified by God. And other verses talking about the human being to be Khalifat Allah or Viceroy of the Allah in the earth, and the importance of the hereafter for human being, and saying that the purpose of life for human being is not just this materialistic world, but he should seek to have a better life in the hereafter. And the verses talking about the purpose of life, لِيَعْبُدُونَ, for example, is mentioned that the purpose of the creation of jinn and ins, all human beings should seek this purpose to be the true worshippers of God. Gathering all these verses together, here we see that in the Quranic viewpoint, Allah is at the center of the human life. So at the beginning, God is the creator of human being with a special interest in creating a creature in the best stature. خَلَقْتُ بَيَدَيَّ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَغْوِيمٍ. From God's spirit, having fitrat Allah and dignified by God. So in his world, he is Viceroy of Allah, Khalifat Allah. And human being is made for eternal life, al-akhirah. The purpose is to liyabudun, to worship God, and at the last, human being is returning to God. So from God, everything starts, and to him, everything returns. So it shows that God is the most important pivots in the life of human being in the Quranic viewpoint. I said that we are seeking to find components of meaning in life according to the Quranic verses. And we said that at least according to a famous research, we have three components for meaning in life: importance, purpose, and coherence. And the verses I mentioned are actually making these components. So the first verses, which are talking about human being created with both hands of Allah, created of the best stature, of the Allah's spirits, having fitrat Allah, and dignified by Allah, and be the Khalifat Allah, and actually made for eternal life, makes meaning important. So by having all these ideas, all these concepts in the Quran, we have an important life for human being. And other verses talk about the purpose of this life. So being Khalifat Allah, Viceroy of Allah, and made for eternal life in the hereafter, and also we are created to worship God and live in a way that God is actually satisfied, and at the end we are returning to God. These are talking about the purpose of life in the Quran and make our life very purposeful. So as I mentioned in the beginning, this is a crisis in the world that they cannot find a compelling purpose for their life. And the Quran is actually giving us this a strong purpose for our life and making us very satisfied with our life. And as I mentioned in the previous slide, God is at the center of our life. Our past and our future is made by God. He is always in our life and is intervening in our life. So we have a coherent life or a coherent idea about our life. Our past is clear, our future is clear, and our present is also on the light of the presence of God is completely clear and coherent with the other parts of our life. So all these components is satisfied and is made by the verses in the Quran. And after that, it's very obvious that having importance in your life make your life more moral, and also having purpose and coherence. But to refer to the Quranic view, I have mentioned some verses here. In Surah Az-Zukhruf, verse 54 is mentioned about Pharaoh. فَاسْتَخَفَّ قَوْمَهُ فَأَطَاؤُهُ. Because they couldn't find the importance in their life, they obeyed Pharaoh. And it shows that if we have a strong importance in as a component in meaning in our life, we will not follow actually sins and immorality. And also in the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, we see many references to this issue. For example, مَا تَكَبَّرَ إِلَّا وَذِي. So it shows that just those who don't have the sense of importance in their life can be arrogant, because they don't find this importance inside themselves, so they are arrogant and they have an immoral life. Or other ahadith saying about نفاق المرء من ظل يجده في نفسه. So when he does not find this importance in his soul, in his being, he will do many things immoral. The other element is purpose. And many verses of the Quran talks about the effect of having a purposeful life on morality. For example, أَرَضِيتُم بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ فَمَا مَتَاءُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. This verse talks about the importance of the hereafter in comparison with this world. And when we have this importance in actually in the hereafter. And when we see that we are created for the hereafter, so we will live a more moral life, and we will observe ethical values better. And other verses talking about the actually effects of some sort of worships, because we said one purpose of our life is to worship God, and here in the verses talks about kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. So it shows the effect of fasting on being more pious. And the also inna salata tanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkar. So the effect of prayer on being far from bad deeds and having moral life. And at the end, we see the effect of coherence on morality. There are many verses talking about this issue. For example, the verse Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara innahu huwa as-sami'ul basir. And the verses talking about the presence of God in all aspects of our life, from the very beginning to the very end of our life, and God being watchful and being all-knowing and all-seeing our aspects of life, shows that this can help us being more moral in our life and have a better understanding of our world, understanding of our life, and actually making and performing ethical actions. In Ahadith also, we have many other references to the effect of coherence on morality. For example, التَّقُوا مَعَصِيَ اللَّهِ فِي الْخَلَوَاتِ فَإِنَّ الشَّاهِدَ هُوَ الْحَاكِمُ. We said that the core of coherence, according to the Quranic viewpoint, is God. And by having God at the center of our life, we are always careful that the witness is exactly who is judging us in the hereafter, and all of this leads to morality. Thank you very much. I hope it can help us understand better the Quranic viewpoint about our life, and makes our life more actually affected by morality and ethics.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm very thankful from your very excellent lecture. And the audience, if you have any question, we are at your services, and the professor answered the question. At first, I would like to answer one question about the relationship between naturalism, nihilism, and existentialism. With, you know, in comparison with the verses of Quran, do you have any idea in this field?
Actually, the existentialism is very often confused with nihilism, but they are completely different ideologies and different philosophies. In existentialism, actually, they are based also on the concept of the meaning of life. Existentialists also think about the meaning of life and the way we can confer meaning on life. But actually, what I want to emphasize is that the result of their thought cannot be out of those three groups that I mentioned. Because either they think of a supernatural being at the center of meaning for life, or a natural being, or they can be nihilist. So the result cannot be something else. And it shows that we also should think of the Quranic perspective in one of these categories. And I, as I mentioned, it is obvious that we think that the Quranic perspective is a God-centered view. So Quranic perspective is also a supernaturalist viewpoint and is a God-centered viewpoint about the meaning of life, because it said God is at the center, and if you remove God from the life of human being, it cannot you cannot have anything else to confer meaning on life.
Thank you. The others, any question? Welcome.
Thank you so much for your presentation. I was not at the picture, but I have a question about the what's the predicament of human according to Quran, that in the Islamic lifestyle we wanna go to conquer it. Maybe some people said that the main predicament is the suffering, or it is the actually searching for forgiveness. But I want to know, in your point of view, what's your opinion about this predicament that we want to conquer it?
You mean in this materialistic life? Yes. I don't want to say that it is a different topic, but actually to say just my opinion, and it should be, I should think more about this question, because it is somehow different from the topic of the meaning, I think. But according to the Quranic viewpoint, as I can say now, my state of knowledge here, according to the Quran, everything is obvious. So, إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلَ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. So, human being has knowledge of bad and good. Human being has free will. And by this verses that I mentioned here, he can have the state of a purposeful mind and a purposeful life. So having all this together, and also the importance of worshiping God, I think what human being should be actually searching for is to worshiping God in a way that his free will is helping him, and at the end, his actually happiness in the hereafter can be satisfied. So all we have is actually a struggle between good and bad, and we are at the middle with our free will, trying to have to fulfill that purpose that God has given to our life. So to worship God with our free will and conquering this actually struggles between good and bad, and good choices and bad choices.
What's the rule of spiritual lifestyle in this scene?
Actually, what I presented here was the effect of having a meaningful life on a spirituality, not the opposite. So what I presented was three components of meaning in life, and I said that the Holy Quran and its teachings can satisfy all of these components, and after that we have this spiritual life and morality. So we can also talk about the effect of that morality on having a meaningful life or purposeful life later. You're welcome.
Virtually, if you have any question, some question there, mister? There is?
Yeah.
Yes.
There is one question asked by Feresh Qasim Abadi, if I pronounce it correctly.
Yes.
Yeah.
pronounce her name correctly. Could you please explain the nihilism part, I guess?
Yes. We can refer to the slide, if you can show it. Can you show the slides? A slide. Doesn't work.
Works.
So in nihilism, as I said, okay, I can explain it without that. But if you refer to the slide, you can find more references to be more accurate. But in nihilism, they say we need some elements essential for conferring meaning on life. But those elements are not existent in the real world. For example, they say we need a God in a God-centered view. We need a God to make our life meaningful, but because we cannot believe in God because of the philosophical problems in the West, for example, we cannot believe in God, so we cannot have a meaningful life. So in nihilism, yes. So in nihilism, they say that life cannot be meaningful at all. So they say life or human existence has no real meaning. Why no real meaning? Because life, because meaning in life needs some components, and many of them are missing according to their viewpoint. So we cannot have a meaningful life. We cannot have purpose in our life because those elements are missing, and we are to actually create some sort of meanings and justify our existence, as I quoted from David Simon, for example, and others.
Other question? Is there? Some question?
One question I can ask.
The question I would ask, Albert Camus, one of the philosophers of the Republic of French, if France, and Descartes and the others, they think that the human being lead to nihilism, and after that lead to absurdism. What do you think of it? How?
Yes. I think, as I explained nihilism, in nihilism you think that your life cannot be meaningful. And because people try to find meanings for their life, and according to nihilism, this endeavor cannot result in a good, actually, funding. So they will have an absurd life because they couldn't find, actually, the meaning in their life. Their life in action will be in absurdity, and they cannot have act as a purposeful person.
Yeah. But how can the philosophers and the schools of thought believe in happiness? Happiness, what's the meaning in nihilism, absurdism, and the others. Happiness and the spirituality, they have the relationship with each other.
Yes.
Yeah? How do you think of it?
I think all the answers goes back to the categories that I mentioned at the very beginning of my presentation. Those who are not nihilist, those who can find meaning in their life by putting God at the center, or by putting the human soul at the center, or by putting nature at the center, so they can have a meaningful life for themselves. But the Holy Quran does not accept all of them, because Quran just accepts the God-centered view. But as I mentioned, for example, in Canada, 6 of 10 have some strange sort of meaning. But the question is, what gives meaning to their lives? Okay. And as I mentioned, for example, family, career, journeys, and many other materialistic things confer meaning on their lives. And it is not even science. It is not even knowledge. It is not faith, spirituality, and religion.
Yeah.
As the center of the meaning in their life. So they have some sort of meanings, but according to the Quranic viewpoint, all of these are in vain. All of these are temporary, actually, and valueless components, and cannot be a strong basis that we can rely on that for a meaning which can give us to have a meaningful life even after our death.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You don't have a question.
The whole thing the presenter, the lecturer just gave us was quite clear. Thank you first.
Yeah.
And second, what is the role of morality in Shia Muslim life? You know, because we believe that morality plays an important role in our lives, and we believe in that.
Yes.
But specifically morality, because I always get confused about the two terms, ethics and morality. I don't know the difference between the two. First, I ask you to explain the first two terms, morality and ethics, and then I want to know what role they have in meaning of life, or in actually Quranic perspective. My pleasure.
Morality and ethics sometimes say that they have the same meaning, but some say morality is basically about the practical aspects, and ethics are the theoretical aspects. There are different views. But the role of spirituality in Muslim Shia lives is actually clear, but this is somehow out of the topic of this presentation here. Just trying to link these two issues together, we can say that not only the Holy Quran gives us the meaning, but its interpretation in the Hadith al-Ahlul Bayt, in the narrations of the household of the Holy Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him and his progenies, give us this importance, give us this purpose, gives us this coherence. And all of these teachings of the Ahlul Bayt that Shia community have in their hands and use them and review them in manabir, in ceremonies, in many occasions, give them this strong meaning in their life. And it is not just the Holy Quran, but its interpretation by the Ahlul Bayt. And I mentioned some ahadith. And all of this gives the Shia community this strong meaning in their life. So if you ask a Shia person, a Shia man or woman, and ask him or her about the meaning of life, and if you talk about nihilism, soon he or she will reject this idea. And it shows that, the effect of teachings of Ahlul Bayt is very strong in the Shia community, and all of them has this strong sense of meaning in their life, and it have great effects on their moral life and their actions.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I don't know if you have any question virtually, in person, the audience? No? I ask other question.
Okay.
Creativity, the beautiful. What's your conception of this word? How do you think about the inquiry, the truth, through existentialism, through naturalism, through supernaturalism? How you can explain it?
Creativity and searching beautiful and beauty in life is actually what leads a human being to art. And it can also be some sort of elements giving meaning in life for some people. In the Quranic viewpoint also, it has a great state, because in the Islamic narrations you have Innallaha Jamil wa Yuhibbul Jamal.
Okay.
God is beautiful and he loves beauty. So all of this also can have some relationship with our topics, because with that God-centered viewpoint, when we think of beauty of God, and when we think that God actually wants us to be beautiful and act beautiful actions in our life, it can actually help us to have some sort of purpose. What I mentioned in purpose, it can be completed with this sort of understanding of God's attributes of being beautiful. So God is beautiful and wants us to be beautiful. This is a purpose in our life, and with having this purpose in our mind, it can affect our life to be beautiful in our actions, in our life.
Yes, but you see that objectivism,
yes,
they believe, it believe that everything in the world is beautiful. This opinion with the other schools of thought have relationship or not? For example, from your opinion about the verses and traditions.
I should think more about this question. But my answer now is, according to my knowledge, is that according to the viewpoint of some Muslim scholars, God is beautiful and his creature is also beautiful. So everything is beautiful in the world. Everything is good in some sort of their existence, at least because the essence of being, the essence of existence is something good. So everything can have this kind of beauty of being existent in the world, at least by being existent. And this is the idea of some, especially mystics in Islamic world. So it can help us to find some answer to that question.
Yes. Yes. Thank you very much. Mr. Doctor?
Hello. Sorry, I was informed that the meeting would start at 10 o'clock, and I have prepared myself for 10.
Yes.
My friends told me that the meeting has been started.
Yes.
I should apologize for that.
Exactly. Thank you very much. No question? No. We finished this moment the session. If you if you have anything to say, you are at your services or not.
I should thank you again.
Yeah.
Thank you again very much for your patience, and I ask Allah help us to have a meaningful life and to have a moral life, inshallah.
Thank you very much. If you have any question in Persian.
There is one question.
One question.
I guess if you just make it large, bulletarish kumisa. I can't see. Nimshe. I guess I can read like that. Can we achieve beauty through morality? I guess this is kind of
unrelevant,
right?
No. it is also relevant to the previous question, one of the previous questions. Actually, as I mentioned, to be beautiful in our actions is just to be moral. So morality and beauty in action can be said they are the same concept. So having a beautiful God leads to humans with beautiful actions and moral life.
You can ask the question in Persian.
Yeah, if you can ask the questions, you can also ask in Persian. If you also want, you can activate your microphone and start talking. We can do such kind of things for you here.
Finished? Thank you very much, all of the audience, for your patience and your presence in this session. I finished the session at the moment. Allahumma salli ala